I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, tells us about the music and the sermons that inspire her. That's our In Our Ear segment, and that's in just a few minutes. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to talk about an idea that President Obama mentioned in his recent address to a joint session of Congress. It was only one line, so you might have missed it, but President Obama says he wants every low-income new mom to be eligible for visits from a nurse at home, starting in the last weeks of pregnancy and continuing in the weeks after giving birth. The president would look to programs like the Nurse Family Partnership, which is already working in 25 states as a model. Good idea? Bad idea? Let's ask the moms. Tell Me More regulars Jolene Ivey and Danette Tucker are with me in our Washington, D.C. studios. I'd also like to welcome Peggy Hill. She is the Director of Program Development for the Nurse Family Partnership. Welcome to you all, ladies, moms.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hello.
Peggy, I want to start with you. I want you to briefly explain what the Nurse Family Partnership does, how does it work, and why nurses as opposed to, say, social workers?
Great question, Michelle. In Nurse Family Partnership, nurses develop a relationship with a young mom early in her pregnancy that's designed to help her be healthy during her pregnancy, become an extremely confident young mother, build her connections with her own family and natural support system, and really follow her own dreams toward school completion or employment, or just being a good, strong mom and an advocate for her family. It's just a real empowerment program, really, for young women.
And again, why nurses as opposed to social workers? Couldn't social workers do that?
Well, social workers do some of those things, but where we work with women who are pregnant for the first time and focus on their health and the baby's health, what we found is that women really respect and trust nurses to be a source of information and guidance about things that they're personally very concerned about related to their health and their child's health.
Jolene, what's your take on this idea? You're a veteran by now, the mother of five, and also co-founder of a parenting support group called the Mocha Moms, where presumably you could help each other do this. But what's your take on this idea?
I think it's a great idea. It kind of puts me in the mind of my last three babies who were born at home, and I had a midwife who followed me, of course, through my pregnancy and did come to my home, of course, to deliver the baby, and then for a couple of visits after that to check on me and the baby. And it was really helpful. It wasn't the kind of thing where she was trying to show me how to interact with my baby, but it was helpful to have that support. And I wish I could have had that kind of support for my first baby when I really was clueless.
What difference do you think it would have made?
Well,
because unlike some of these moms, you had some, you know, family support. You did have family around. You did have a network of friends.
I had some.
Even you would have found it helpful.
I would have found it helpful. And, you know I wouldn't qualify for this program, but it's obviously a need. A lot of women are sent home by themselves into a neighborhood. They might not know anybody. And I didn't know anybody in my neighborhood when my first baby was born. My parents lived not too far away, but it had been a long time since any of them had had a baby. And no one was showing me really what to do. It was really kind of winging it.
I have to mention that people of means have done this for themselves. They hire a baby nurse, which is, you know, what we did. We were fortunate to be able to do that with twins. And I am so grateful because my husband left town for a trial the week after I got home from the hospital. And I don't know what I would have done had we not had this lady to come and literally things you thought you knew, but to sort of show you how to bathe a wriggly baby. And
you needed somebody to just let you go bathe you, you know?
True. Danny, what's your take on this idea? I understand you're not exactly enamored of it.
No, I'm not a big fan.
Mom of two yourself?
Mom of two. But I was a low-income mother with a first-time child. And to be honest with you, nurse couldn't have came to my house because I was working. And Peggy, no offense, I think you all are doing a great job. I read in the, I think it was the Journal of Pediatric Medicine, where, you know, they got a lot of reports to say how it worked. And up until the age of nine, I think that's where the report came from. And one thing it said that there was longer intervals between the first pregnancy and the second pregnancy. But what it didn't say is, again, the pregnancies are going to be repeated. It's a mindset. And when you put a Band-Aid on it, for me, you know, it just doesn't do anything for it.
How is it a Band-Aid? What I thought I understood you to say is that you feel that it papers over deeper issues.
It papers over deeper issues because, I'm speaking from being a person in the situation, living amongst the people now. It's not changing the mentality and the mindset of why they're doing it. It's just according to the program, the nurse stays until the baby's two. And then they're on to the next person that's had a baby. Well, meanwhile, you're back at the ranch, they go back into the same mentality, the same way of thinking, the same way of looking for love in the wrong places, having another baby, back on the system and not taking advantage of the programs that are already out there.
Hmm. Peggy, what do you say to that?
Well, I'm interested to hear the perspective, first of all. You know, the nurses in our program are really focused on understanding the needs and circumstances of each of the women they serve. So many of the women that we work with are working, and the nurses actually flex their visits so that they can come at a time that is convenient to the mom and the family and figure out what she does need, what she doesn't need, and really work almost at the behest of the mom. So the goals of the program are tailored to what that mom says she needs. And the research on the program has actually demonstrated that for most of the moms we serve, they're actually successful in putting their lives on a completely different trajectory for the long term.
I wanted to ask
they
about
don't
the research.
Go back into the kinds of behaviors and challenging situations that they might have been trapped in otherwise.
I wanted to talk more about the research. There's a 1997 study which was reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association that said that women who'd had home visits, the research found that the nurse home visits were associated with a nearly 50% drop in rates of substantiated child abuse or neglect in new families. The visits increased the amount of time between a mother's first and second pregnancies. Rates of hypertension were reduced, and the mother spent less time on welfare and worked more. Why might that be, Peggy?
I think the reason is that we're working with women who are pregnant for the first time. It's kind of a window of opportunity when women feel particularly vulnerable and are considering their own life prospects and the life prospects for their babies. And the nurses are there to really help them think about the choices that they're making, the immediate and longer-term impacts of those choices, and what they want to do and be for the future. So they're learning how to care for a baby in a way that enables them, if they choose to have additional children, to care well for their second child. If they're struggling with working and finding child care, the nurse may talk with them about family planning and ask the mom if she's really ready to have a second child and prepared for it. They'll talk about her social support system and the men in her life and the family members in her life and who's really supportive and who's not. And again, it's keeping that mom as the expert on her life and helping her make choices that put her on the track that she envisions for herself.
Danny, I want to bring Jolene back in the conversation, too. Danny, you were married when you had your first child. No?
No.
No, you were not. No. But you subsequently married the father.
Yes, right. I subsequently married the father.
Well, do you think you would have been receptive to this kind of visit?
I don't think so. And like I said, just going by how I felt at the time, what I was going through, what my mindset was.
What was your mindset? You keep talking about mindset. Tell me.
My thing was, I want to be in a relationship. I didn't know how to be in a relationship. Okay, and then when I did get in a relationship, and then their babies came behind, you know, what came out of it. So the nurse would have been there to help me get, you know, the baby going and working and all that. But I'm still looking for love in the wrong place. And what I'm saying to you is a lot of low-income moms, it's a temporary fix. I've got it going on. But you meet that next guy, and then you're back in that same situation where you've got another baby. I haven't changed the way I think. The way I think about relationships, the way I think about having sex, and the fact that a baby can come from every time I have sex from with a different guy.
Okay.
You understand?
I do want to just sort of emphasize that I don't, and I'm not criticizing you, but I do want to emphasize that I don't think it's fair to say just because you're low income that you necessarily have a certain mindset about relationships.
Oh,
and
I
it
agree.
Seems to me having being,
I can only speak, I'm speaking based on what I've experienced and what of those people that were down there with me.
I got
that
you.
Is the majority mindset. Peggy and those guys, they do research and they take a large, you know, research group, and that's what they focus on. I've lived with the sisters and that have that set of mind. That's not what they're thinking. Most of us were thinking the wrong way. Hmm. And we conducted ourselves still in that thought process, no matter what kind of good information or good programming came our way.
Jolene, the question I have for you is, and there's a separate question about whether this is politically feasible, why isn't this kind of education useful for all parents, regardless of income level? Because it is a case people have smaller families these days.
Well,
than many people used to in the past. In some countries, it is customary for all new parents to have some form of home visit, because many people, no matter how well educated you might be, have no relationship to infant care and understanding how to take care of a child when one is actually really right there in front of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Why wouldn't everybody benefit from this?
Everybody would benefit from this. I think the problem is that we can't afford right now for this kind of program for everyone. At least that's what the government's going to tell us. And I can tell you, in the state of Maryland right now, we'd be hard-pressed to come up with an extra dime for anything right now in this economy. And actually, listening to the whole thing made me think back to when I was pregnant with my fifth child and I was on bed rest suddenly, and we had to hire someone to help take care of me primarily and the other kids. This young woman came into our lives. She was 18 years old. I did not know when we hired her that she was pregnant. And boy, that was something, let me tell you. It was like a sitcom in our house for a while. But I wonder sometimes what happened to her. If I were to find her now, what would her life be like?
But Peggy, what about Jolene's question? Do you have any sense of what happens to mothers who graduate from the program? Do you have a long-term follow-up with them to know what has in fact happened to them?
Well, each of the three research trials that were conducted in actually really high-risk areas, high-risk neighborhoods, were followed longitudinally. So the researchers who were conducting the program stayed in touch with the women in the study and interviewed them periodically over 15 years to find out where they went, where their kids went, how they were doing, how their kids were doing. And that's how we know that in spite of the situations they found themselves in when they became pregnant for the first time, they actually did do better over time.
But can you just tell me, what is the most important takeaway from all this research, which is far more extensive than I had understood about the effects of it? What is the takeaway? What is it about that relationship that seems to yield these results? Is it just having somebody come and check on you? Is it really that powerful, just having somebody sort of teach you how to take care of the baby and that it has these powerful long-term effects? What is it?
Michelle, I think that's a great question, and I don't think it's as simple as teaching a curriculum, certainly. It's not as simple as supervising or checking on someone. It really has to do with the power of a relationship with someone who respects you and treats you as the decision maker for your own life and helps you reconsider where you're going and what you want, and then helps you get there.
Any final thought from you? Do you think that you would have benefited in any way from a program like this? I understand that you're skeptical, and I respect that. And I do have to say that your kids are great, regardless of the fact that you had a program like this or not. They're great. But what if this isn't the right idea, what would make a difference in your view?
Again, not taking anything away from the program. I'm sure that the success that it has been notable, but I still live with low-income people. I'm still low-income, and it has not changed our mindset.
What would work, in your view?
Some ramifications for not doing what's already out there. Like I said, I mean, when I was on the system, out of 20, only 3 of us were taking advantage of the programs that were there for us. Where were the other 17? And why weren't they here? There are many programs that we've already set up that already have money in them that we can be taken advantage of, and they come with ramifications. There are none. We got to stop babying them. If I have another baby, this is what's going to happen. The city's not going to take care of it. The governor's not going to take care of it. Bah, you got to do this. And I don't see enough accountability for us in low income.
Well, 2 views. That's why we have more than one guest to give various perspectives. Danette Tucker is a regular Tell Me More parenting contributor, along with Jolene Ivey, who was here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. Peggy Hill is the director of program development for the Nurse Family Partnership. She joined us from her office in Denver. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We'll have more information about the Nurse Family Partnership on our website. You can go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org.